Welcome back. Well, takeover talks between MTN and Telkom have been in the spotlight over the past week, and our reporter Ndawuleng caught up with a telco's analyst, Ernest Kaplan, for some industry insight.
You're right, Zanati. This is a story of public interest, and we've had analysts question whether it'll actually go through, considering the history MTN has had with the Competition Commission. This while unions pushed back, raising concerns about job losses in the sector. Joining me now with greater detail on the proposed deal is Telco's analyst, Ernest Kaplan. Thanks for your time, Ernest. Now, with concerns put on the table on the competition dynamics and the unions, do you actually see this deal going through?
Yeah, look, I think it is pretty much 50-50 because of all the issues that you mentioned. There's a lot of things here. First of all, you know, government is not well known for privatizing its assets, and this would amount to that. But there could be a situation where MTN pays in shares, so the government retains a shareholding in a large African champion telco, which could be quite good for them. So that might allay that. In terms of job losses, I mean, I think it's pretty common with some of these types of deals that you would put in a condition that says for a few years you're not allowed to really do any massive retrenchments. So it would just take some time to realize those efficiencies. So yeah, but I mean, it's a touch and go. It needs political backing, this deal.
That's absolutely correct, Ernest. Now, the price tag of the takeover is also in question, with Telkom trading at around 40 Rand. And this is while it's placed its fair value at 100 Rand per share. With this discrepancy at play, what are your estimates?
Well, I mean, you know, it's very hard to value Telkom, because if we just look at a simple thing like free cash flow, last year it produced 2 billion, or the year before last it produced 2 billion free cash flow, and then this most recent year it was minus 2 billion. There were a few factors in there. But I mean, the point is it's not growing, and it's a kind of business where the fixed line is in decline. The mobile is really suffering to compete against MTN and Vodacom. So on its own, I would say it's pretty fair at this point. 20 billion Rand seems okay to me.
So consolidation has also been a major theme in the industry. Just last year, we had the Vodacom CIVH deal, and now it's this proposed MTN Telkom takeover deal. Do you expect this trend to continue playing out moving forward?
Yes, I do, and I think what you've mentioned is very important about Vodacom doing the CIVH deal, and that's all about Vodacom getting fiber assets. So they're kind of leaving Telkom behind if they move ahead with that, and MTN doesn't have any significant fiber assets. So if MTN can get hold of Telkom, it would kind of level the playing field. But I think at the end of the day, this kind of deal, it's really got to be good for consumers. You and I have to, in the end of the day, have better service or pay less. And I think if they do this correctly and they open up the access to the mobile network in return for allowing this deal to go ahead at MTN, I think it could actually be quite good for consumers over the longer term.
All right. Thanks for those insights. That was Telco's analyst at Kaplan Equity Analysts, Ernest Kaplan. It's back to Zanati now.
Thanks, darling. Well, consolidation, a trend not only gathering steam in the telco sector, but in listed space as a whole. That's as we've had Implats and RB Plats in a merger deal, Goldfields acquiring Yamana in Canada, and Sibanye-Stillwater considering a merger or acquisition within the uranium industry. Join me now as we discuss M&A activity within South Africa as CEO of Deal Leaders International, Andrew Bowman. Thank you so much for your time, Andrew. Andrew, I'm interested in the kind of themes that you are seeing in the M&A space at this point, because you kind of get a sense that there's a lot of activity, but then you're also seeing that there are lots of deals that are falling through.
Yeah, evening, Zanati. Thanks for your time. Yeah, it is a very interesting time. I think you've got to almost separate between, local transactions and then the FDR, international acquirer market. I guess there's always going to be a challenge when you've got large listed South African entities wanting to merge or acquire, particularly from, the compliance and the Competition Commission angles. And, there's always that big question around how much do those types of transactions really move the needle? So, are they driving employment? Are they driving economic growth? Is the market saturated and the only way to grow is through kind of acquisition, but it really becomes a zero-sum game? But it's good that there is that activity. It just shows that, all parties are pushing boundaries. They're looking for growth environments. And there's always these cycles of consolidation, acquisition, decentralization. So it's a very interesting cycle, but there's lots of headwinds, particularly with a couple of the transactions you mentioned in the introduction.
Quite interesting that you talk about what the Competition Commission might have on its plate at the moment. Of course, we do know that that is quite a significant issue when it comes to Telkom and MTN. And I mean, you look at this kind of environment, Andrew, it's a very challenging environment. Economic growth isn't really expanding significantly. So are we going to have lots of these where maybe you're having companies trying to take out the competition? Because at this point, economic growth is constrained and there's a battle of market share.
I think so. I think the previous guest was mentioning around, the benefits. If you look at the MTN Telkom deal, the benefits that would hopefully pass on to the consumer. This has been rhetoric for years. And at the end of the day, how is that really going to benefit anybody? If it's going to drive, as I mentioned earlier, some real economic growth, jobs, and the like, will that build up, these large companies build up that type of momentum in the economy? Then I'd say yes. But, at the end of the day, I think the challenge always with these types of transactions is often just moving paper around. Even if you took an example like the Distell Heineken transaction, that's a great deal, but great for who? And I think that's really where, we've almost got to take a step back from a mergers and acquisitions perspective and say, where are we going to get maximum impact from an investment and M&A perspective? Because, that's why we're seeing all these complexities coming through the approvals process, because there's knock-on effects to, employees and the greater economy as well.
Andrew, you look at Telkom trading at around 60, 62 rand, and they've constantly said that they are undervalued, valuing themselves at about 100 rand a share. Take Remgro also trying to get to Mediclinic. They've gone to Mediclinic three times before a final offer. Well, it's not even final, but an offer that Mediclinic is more comfortable with. And also Barloworld has said that, they have an option of selling Avis as well, but the offers that they've get don't come at the right price. So I'm wondering how opportunistic then offerers will get in this kind of environment where valuations are low and we're also in a bear market.
Yeah, look, I think there's a lot of opportunism, and I think it's kind of that situation where how badly does somebody want the asset? And on the flip side, what is the opportunity cost to them if they don't get the asset? And we see it a lot even in the the more privately owned space where everybody wants a great deal, but at the end of the day, what is that asset worth to you? And is it an enabler to trigger some, different types of growth? So I think like anybody, or any transaction, whether you're buying an asset, a house or a business, one doesn't want to overpay. But, our rhetoric almost is around what do the shareholders enjoy if they don't do a deal? And in many cases, I think acquirers forget to put themselves in the seller's shoes and say, well, geez, would I jump at this deal? And it sounds very simplistic, but in many cases, it's like, maybe we got to sharpen our pencil. And it is timing, right? And I think, guys are, we often get asked the question from an international perspective, are South African assets cheap? To answer it like an economist, it depends, because it depends on the industry and it depends what that output looks like and what the revenue streams are.
What then, with this opportunism then that may exist within the offerors, what then do the offerees need to consider when they are having these negotiations? Because I can imagine that not a lot of them would be as bold as Mediclinic to say no.
Yeah, it is a tough one. It's very difficult, to when it's bird in the hand and there's this offer on the table. I guess from, somebody who's considering the offer, as well as the offeree, as you mentioned, putting that offer forward, it's really kind of reflecting on a little bit of history. What type of dividend streams do the shareholders enjoy, and what is the outlook? So in many cases, if you take a Telkom by way of example, in certain of their business units, that market is pretty flat, saturated, and even regressing. Whereas in other areas, there may be some real opportunity to benefit. So you've almost got to do that historical and forecasting, analysis to understand where's this going to go. But the biggest, I suppose, challenge to all of this is you're dealing in listed instruments. So there's so many elements that could influence your market cap. And yeah, at the end of the day, one can always argue that your asset is under or overvalued. But reality is reality. You can't dispute it, and you've got to almost gamble on, do you think it's going to recover, and over what period?
It's going to be quite an interesting space to look out for the second half of the year, Andrew, because you kind of have this push and pull factor. And I mean, you're also getting deals that are falling through at the 11th hour. We've seen with Elon Musk and Twitter, and also, for example, in South Africa, Lipstar having done a deal with the private equity consortium for its household and personal care business, that falling through at the last hour because of the challenges that we are seeing in the economic environment. Thank you very much for your time and just for giving us some clarity on the M&A activity playing out in South Africa. That was the CEO of Deal Leaders International, Andrew Bauman.